Hello, and welcome to Monco on the Move podcast. I'm Molly Hafner, Director of Marketing at Montgomery County Community College.
And I'm Jared Brown, Assistant Dean of Academic Affairs at Monco's Pottstown campus. Hello, Molly.
Jared.
What's going on?
We've been doing this long enough that now we're like going through the seasons. It's like 80 degrees
right.
And wonderful out.
It's beautiful finally, right?
Oh, yeah. So today we have actually two special guests with us.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yes. So we have George Whitehair mm-hmm. and Uli Sao.
Yes.
And they're here to talk about the contributions of this really, really amazing and interesting individual mm-hmm. named Dr. Frank E. Boston.
Yeah.
He's actually a local African-American hero, and they are all about honoring his legacy. So George is the lead researcher for the Boston Legacy Foundation, mm-hmm. a local nonprofit that seeks to recognize the historic contributions of Dr. Boston.
Okay.
He also serves as the publicity chair for the Lansdale International Spring Festival.
Wonderful.
One of Pennsylvania's largest multicultural events, I didn't realize. And he recently published Who Are You? A book on the contributions of immigrants. Did you know that?
That's cool.
And let me tell you about Uli.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, because it gets better here. Not even better, just keeps going. Uli is a Boston Legacy Foundation board member and a recent Penn State graduate. She also just became a citizen of the United States.
Wonderful.
Which is super cool. And she has been profiled in Penn State's Alumni Magazine for her work on the Boston Legacy.
Great achievement.
And then, quite frankly, I have trouble with my first language, so it's really impressive that she's fluent in seven languages.
Wow.
Including Korean. Mm-hmm. And as a young woman of color, Uli brings a unique perspective to this Boston story, so I am really excited to talk to them.
Yes, and so George and Uli are going to speak with us today about Dr. Boston and how they are recognizing and amplifying his legacy and what he's accomplished.
Yep.
And so a little bit for our listeners about Dr. Boston and his accomplishments. I know, right? Dr. Frank Erdman Boston was born in 1890, was a World War I veteran, physician, and resident of Lansdale.
Like me.
Yep. Born and raised in Philadelphia, he attended our local Lincoln University. And then he went on to college at Medico to earn a degree in pharmacy and medicine, graduating in 1915. In World War I, he served in the U.S. Army Medical Reserve Corps and was a medical officer with the 317th Engineering Regiment of the 92nd Division. Following the war, he returned to Pennsylvania and worked as a surgeon at Mercy Hospital, and eventually he moved to Lansdale, and in 1934, he established the Elm Terrace Hospital at 7th and Broad Street. The hospital later was renamed North Penn Hospital and also started the First Aid Emergency Squad, which is now the Volunteer Medical Service Corps.
He is an amazing person, but the thing is that very little is known about him. And the Boston Legacy Foundation is trying to rectify this by getting national recognition for him and his accomplishments, which is a really amazing undertaking.
Absolutely. We'll learn more about the foundation's initiatives when Monco on the Move podcast continues right after this.
Ah, it's such a nice day. I'm happy to be outside.
Ah, what is that smell?
It's my neighbor's stinky cigar. Why are you smoking that stinky cigar?
I like my stinky cigar. Yeah.
You know smoking is bad, and I don't want to smell it.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Smoking is a highly addictive habit that can easily become a lifelong addiction and can cause long-term health problems for you and those around you.
And it stinks. Stop smoking.
Welcome back to the Monco on the Move podcast. I'm Jared Brown, and our guests today are George and Uli. Welcome to the show.
Oh. Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you for having us.
We're very happy to be here.
Great. Well, that was quite the intro. There's a lot mm-hmm. going on. All three of you are, you know, have such great backgrounds. So, George, let's start with you. Tell us about this Boston Legacy Foundation and who is involved in some of these projects.
When COVID hit, I had just finished a book on immigrants because I do work with the International Spring Festival, and I see you're having a festival here also. And Dr. J. Raj, who is a local pediatrician, very well known, had been on the medical staff of the Lansdale Hospital, now part of Jefferson. Okay. He said to me, why don't you dedicate your book to Dr. Boston? And I said, who's Dr. Boston? Just like almost everyone that hears the story. So he said, take a ride down to 7th and Broad, park your car, and go look at this monument, which I did. I had driven past it. I'm embarrassed to say how many times. I did not realize it was to an African-American doctor who started the hospital that's now part of Jefferson, or the ambulance corps. Yep. So with COVID and everybody shut down, I started to research it. And I found the needle in the haystack. I found this incredible story about a brilliant man. I have interviewed seniors that live at Elm Terrace that had been patients of Dr. Boston's when they were young, that tell you such remarkable memories they had of this man who did so much for the community, and then, like so much of hidden history, disappeared. So our research is really, we have a lot of college students, high school students that have helped us. Two from this school have helped us.
Oh, great.
And it's really been a remarkable start to the project. The main members are myself, Dr. J. Raj, and Uli, who is here with me. And we, during our research, we discovered Dr. Boston, during his lifetime, actually received a lot of awards. He received two U.S. presidential citations, one from Eisenhower and one from Truman.
Wow.
And then disappeared. So our efforts right now is trying to get the White House to issue Dr. Boston his third U.S. presidential citation. So I'll give a plug to any listeners that have any connections.
Who do we have to write?
I can pull a couple strings, I guess.
I have, I've done that. I've asked high schools. We've presented the board meetings to reach out to get him recognized. The time is now. And I will mention one more story on the monument because I don't want to take up all the time because you gave me the mic. I could be here all afternoon. I will share, though, something about that monument. So after I looked at it, I took some photos out. We posted it. I had some assistance from a history professor at DelVal, Professor Stutman. And Craig had done his dissertation on African-American history in Philadelphia. He told me that when that was built, which is around 1961, it's the first in Pennsylvania to an individual African-American. They all came after the Civil Rights Movement, and our research confirmed that. Philadelphia has 1,800 monuments. The first one to a single African-American was 2017, and you all can go look that up. And that was to Cato, and I sometimes mispronounce that, C-A-T-O, which is at City Hall in Philly. And that was Boston's went up in 61. The other thing, and I'm telling all the listeners, take the time to look, because in the center of this monument is a bronze face of Doc Boston. But it's angled slightly. So if you stop and look and you see it a little bit on an angle, you say to yourself, well, why? Well, the why is when he died, the hospital then, called the North Penn, refused to hang his portrait. The storyline, if we do it for you, we have to do it for everyone else. His supporters got so pissed off that they raised money and privately had that monument built. And when the face was cast, they angled it. So whenever the trustees came out the front door of the old hospital, Boston would be giving them the eye. You're like, okay, you kept me out. Here you go.
That's a great story.
One positive thing of all this is the Jefferson Health Systems that hospital went from North Penn, became Lansdale Hospital, on May 2nd is hanging a portrait of Dr. Boston in their lobby, and they are renaming the lobby the Dr. Boston Lobby.
That's great.
So it shows that efforts by just a few of us starting to pebble down the hill has already resulted in some accomplishments.
That's
great. So, Uli, my friend, how did you get involved with this? Tell us a little bit about your journey and your contribution thus far.
Yeah, so I actually got involved through George. He is really active in the community. And that's one thing after I graduated from Penn State that I really wanted to do is be active in the community. I'm a huge people person, so I'll just go up and talk to anybody, really. And George happened to be the same exact way. And it was a battle of, like, who's going to talk more? Because it's like, all right, your string of thought is ending, I got to pick it up right there. So that's where I learned about Dr. Boston. And my reaction was like, whoa, wait a minute. I was like, well, how is this story something that exists and nobody knows about it? And I went to Penn State and I got my degree in the sciences. So one of the things that I struggled with is I didn't really have any black people to look up to, especially not as a doctor, a veteran. So I was like, this step of representation is so important, and we often don't think about the figures that young kids see, right? If you're able to see yourself on a screen, you identify with that person. You become limitless in your identity and who you can become. So I immediately jumped on it. I was like, George, this is something that you have here like a diamond, right? So I was like, tell me what I have to do. I will call anybody. I will talk to anybody. Like, how do we get this story out? And he basically was like, I want you to go out and tell people about it. So that's kind of my role is outreach and basically bringing the story to young people, because that's somewhere where I identify so strongly. Seeing him, I'm like, when I see pictures of him, I'm like, there's Grandpa Boston on the horse again. Like, I have been attached to this man. I love him, and I just feel like I know him. And it's learning about his day-to-day. He had a horse farm. He had two dogs. And he was such a normal man, but so extraordinary that I was like, this is a story that I need other young people to know about, right? So, yep.
That's wonderful. It's you said something in your narrative about Hidden Figures, and I think about the movie, right? And how history sometimes closes off those that are so important. And so I see a lot of that in from what we're discussing right now and the importance. So I really applaud both of you for bringing light and bringing the history at the forefront. Because we can't correct what was done in the past, but we can correct it for the future. So I applaud you both.
Thank you. Thank you. That's super important.
Now, and your passion is obviously palpable, so it's really cool to hear from you. And it's so interesting that this was really relatively new for you, just during COVID, you know?
About a year and a half. And again, it's our core team's three, but I've had help from people from different colleges. There's so much more of the Boston story, I mean, we could share. He trained at Fort Des Moines, because what had happened is his father was a Civil War veteran and served with the Pennsylvania 12th. When World War I broke out, Dr. Boston enlisted, but they didn't want the blacks training with the whites, so they sent him to a fort out in Iowa called Fort Des Moines. We've actually visited Fort Des Moines, and I'm happy to say they now have a Boston display in the museum. We accomplished things. We just don't talk. And we started looking into Fort Des Moines, and it was a who's who of so many accomplished black men, that officers that came out of there. Dr. Louis Wright came, the first black doctor in Harlem Hospital. Charles Hamilton started the Negro Bar Association, which was called the National Bar Association, because the ABA didn't let blacks in. Another individual was the mentor to Thurgood Marshall. Another one that we traced is buried in Arlington, because he received France's highest honor during World War I. And in your introduction to the Boston story, I will also add that the 92nd Division, to which Boston proudly served, is the Buffalo Soldiers. They dated back to post-Civil War. The 92nd carried that badge of honor and the insignia of the Buffalo Soldiers. So the story just continues to get more interesting. And I have one future thing. Can I mention it?
Sure.
And you can tell, listening out, anybody listening to Louie and I, you can see how we're a great tag team. Because I'll tell you, I'll hit you, and I'm going to let her talk about the next great thing we have. But on May 20th, in Washington, D.C., at the World War I Memorial, which is right next to the White House, we are honoring Dr. Boston, because we believe he is the first African-American in the United States, actually anywhere, to start an ambulance corps. And he started in 1933, and EMS really didn't even become a science until the 60s. So we're honoring, we have the deputy chief of the Washington, D.C. Fire Department, who is African-American, is one of our speakers. We have the director of the National Highway Safety Board coming. We have the new president of the VMSC coming. So it's open to the public, and it's in D.C. on May 20th. And yes, we are position next to the White House. So maybe finally we'll get some recognition for that.
Yeah. Have somebody walk
so we
in.
Are going to really work to make Dr. Boston the face of EMS services across the country.
Very cool. Yeah. That's very cool. So how are you involving students? I know you mentioned two students that are helping out from Monco here. But, you know, how are you involving the community and students in your efforts to get this recognition?
A lot of the research and going to events with us and helping us, my son Zachary, Patrick Javier, who's both students here. We had Lee from Arcadia. I had some. Uli from Penn State. Mm-hmm. Anj is now a Penn Stater. Mm-hmm. Was North Penn High School. Who else? We had Brianna,
Lee.
Who was from LaSalle College.
Yep.
And they reached out to us, and some of it was research. Some of it is actually proofreading and editing.
Okay.
Some of it's attending things. Jefferson created some banners for us, so we're going out now at different events. And I'll let Uli talk about our latest project, which hopefully we involved a Marvel Avenger cartoonist in this project. But I'm going to keep you all in suspense. Uli's going to tell you that. I would tell people, though, you know, reach out to us. It's feblegacy@gmail.com. And I encourage people to go research this story. We trace Boston back to 1760. It's as far as we could find records. But there are so many hidden stories out there that I think it's we try to get people to look back at history.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's many Bostons.
Sure.
And there's so many stories we discovered with Boston. One is Althea Hoddle Kratz. When Boston came to Lansdale, the first guy he met was Clarence Kratz. And Boston came to Lansdale because he used to fish on the Perkiomen to escape Philadelphia after the war. So he'd come up. He's a fisherman, too.
Mm.
So he becomes friends with Kratz. Kratz breaks a leg. Boston tends to him. Kratz convinces him to settle in Lansdale. Kratz has a single daughter, Althea, who eventually becomes the first voluntary member of the Volunteer Medical Services Corps, VMSC. Althea becomes also the first female dean at the University of Pennsylvania.
Wow.
She becomes the president of the AAWU, and as president, leads that organization to integrate, to allow blacks into its membership. I've asked Penn for access to her records, because that's where I could use some help. I am convinced Boston has a hand in it, because the coincidences are just too much. Single daughter. Oh, and you can look it up. To this day, Penn still gives the Althea Kratz Hoddle Award to an outstanding student.
Hmm.
Another local Montgomery County resident that did a lot. Now, a woman, that story needs to be told, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it just, it's like, and that's the thing
cracks
with research.
It open, right?
As
yeah.
soon as
yeah.
you go down this path, then 10 more open up, then 10 more open up, then 10 more.
Yeah. So I want to get to this because I want to make sure this for all our listeners. This is the Doc Boston Adventures comic book. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of what you're calling it? Yep. All right, tell us a little bit about that because this is pretty cool.
Yeah, so the comic book is basically, we took a section of the Boston legacy story, which is basically the floods, the Lock Haven floods that happened, what year was that again? 1936.
Oh,
and we took that snippet and kind of inserted a modernization to it. So there are several young characters that basically aid Dr. Boston and Mabel Reed, who was kind of a nurse and his sidekick at the time. And those young people aid him in problem solving through the floods. And what we did was we assigned each of them kind of like a idea in STEM. So you have somebody figuring out engineering, somebody figuring out the vet with the animals and stuff. And the goal is we are trying to introduce these concepts to people that read it without trying to tell them what to think. We just want you to form your own opinion and have it influence you the way that works for you. And by doing that, we inserted different characters from all sorts of backgrounds. I don't know how this happened, but there's a character in there named Uli. And I can't imagine.
What are the chances?
I know. I was like, wow, I had no idea. But the whole thing with the comic book is that we really want anybody to be able to look at it and say, hey, I'm in there, and look how my character did this. And it's, again, that whole idea of when you can see somebody who looks like you, is like you, achieving, you are not going to limit yourself. So that's really the whole goal with the book.
And have you been in schools with K-12? I mean, what's your audience for this?
Yeah, definitely.
It's designed for middle school. Coy Pham, who, if you Google Marvel and Coy Pham's name, because when I first told my son Coy was going to design a comic, he knew who Coy was. And Coy's done the Marvel Avengers and Spider-Man.
Wow, yeah.
And he's got an international following. He laid his talent to this comic book.
Very cool.
I couldn't draw a stick figure, so. myself, Uwe, Dr. J. Raj, and we all got together to give the story. The real-life story is Boston and his team did go up and save lives during the 1936 floods. We simply gave him now a group of young kids representing community now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in the back of the comic is a story about Dr. Boston. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we've introduced it to schools. We actually have a program now. Some corporations are buying it to donate the books to certain schools. A group out of Merck, the League of African Employees, donated some. TD Bank has stepped up to do some. So we're trying to get it out to the kids. And it's for anybody, but middle school is our target.
Sure.
And we're already working on the next one.
Yep. Great.
That's so great. So we've spent a lot of time learning about you and your efforts. And, of course, this outstanding man, local man, of course, Dr. Boston. How can others get involved? I know that you gave an email, but is there other ways that people in the community, students here at Monco, could get involved in your efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. We have so many different sectors that it's kind of branched into. And for example, one of them is the arts. So if somebody's looking to get involved, we had one of the ladies that told us about when she was younger. She wants to get involved in writing a play. And it's like, all right, great. And, you know, so any type of outreach that somebody wants to contribute, they are free to contact us and see, you know, how they can fit into that picture. So.
Yeah. And again, do you want to give us that?
FEB,
so it's Frank Erdman Boston, FEBLegacy@gmail.com. There is a DocBostonAdventures.com website where we not only have our comic book, but we have some YouTubes. And in fact, you can type in YouTube Doc Boston Adventures, and Doc is DOC Boston Adventures, to get to see us on a couple videos that are posted on YouTube. And the BostonLegacyFoundation.org has a website. So there are a lot of ways to reach out to us. Mm-hmm. And said, I think the end goal right now is to get Boston recognized nationally. And I know we're pressed for time, but the Pennsylvania Senate unanimously passed a resolution to name Broad Street the honorary Dr. Boston Memorial Highway.
I've heard that, yeah.
That bill is presently with the House. Mm-hmm. HealthSpark Foundation started a $250,000 Black Justice Fund in Dr. Boston's name.
Wow.
You're aware of the hospital. We're turning him into an EMS hero. And if you start to really read the story, he was about as humble as it comes. He had a horse farm in Hilltown. He had two horses. I interviewed a woman who used to ride the horses when she was young on his horse farm. And she told me a story. He made house calls. Back then, doctors would make house calls. He did have a live-in cook, housemaid. She would make meals up and put him in his trunk. When he drove into Lansdale, he knew the families, because this was the Depression and early days, who didn't have anything. He'd actually deliver meals. He was like the first Uber
meals
Eats. He was meals on wheels 50, 60 years before anybody. And I'm telling you, when you start hearing some of this, you think, how did this guy go unrecognized? And I think the message I also have to people, everyone, is it shows our efforts that you can start something. I mean, we have a highway name now. We're in a hospital. Or there's a fund out there in his name. If we get him his third citation. And I am after tea or drinks with the Obamas, and I don't hide that fact either. I have written to them. I've sent them comics. to say, hey, you know, because who is right? And, you know,
yeah,
it's a role model. It's not a sports figure. You know, it's a real life hero, not a superhero.
It's an understated feeling now. Not to say that, you know, he was understated, but you know, it's like he did things with humility. It seems like and did great things, but wasn't necessarily like, you know, out
trying
there
to show it,
trying to show it off. And I love the fact that, you know, there are so many people in life that maybe there's a possibility of us looking back on them and saying, wait, let's bring this person to life with little things like delivering meals, you know, that's so subtle, but he wasn't asked to do that. He didn't get any props for that. He wasn't, you know, lots of claps and things. He did that because he cared about people, right? So I just love bringing people like that to life because I think that they're the true, like, have really great character, and that's what our kids need to see these days, you know?
Perfectly said.
Narrative is very powerful.
Yeah, and you guys have great stories,
and
too.
And so I encourage you to continue to tell the story because the more you tell the story,
There's a book being written here.
The more that people will listen.
We're thinking screenplay if anybody
out there listening.
Uli insists, though, one of the characters does have to have Uli in it.
I don't know if I insisted that.
I actually insisted on that because she does represent really what we are trying to do, is that it is opportunities for everyone. We try to tell it in a very positive way.
Sure.
And her accomplishments, you know, speak for themselves. And one of the messages she was giving at a lot of our presentations was, give me an opportunity, I'll do it.
Right.
And with that, I should probably embarrass her and say goodbye or something in Korean. But the fact that she spoke Korean helped at one of our events because the Korean community actually came up, and I'll let her just finish
on that note because
it is an important message.
Yeah, and I think especially with the languages thing, being able to connect with people is so important. And this day more than ever, we have devices that are able to connect us virtually, but they don't often translate human. You know,
one of the
things is when I speak people's language, there's almost a barrier that gets removed, and I'm able to understand their cultures at such a deeper level. And one of the communities that I have been really kind of integrated into is the Korean community. I have, you know, I actually had a young black girl, remember, at the YMCA who was learning Korean. And when I approached her and I introduced myself in Korean, she was like, oh my God, because it was somebody that looked like her again, that was achieving the same thing. So it was so motivating for me, and I was like, man, I have to keep doing this. You know, it's just I'm the little things that I'm doing mean something to somebody, and even if it's just one person, I've accomplished my goal. So that's kind of and I really thank the Korean community actually for, you know, just being so accepting of me.
That's really, really cool. Guys, it's been such an amazing conversation. We could keep on talking, but we can't.
That's okay.
We wish you all the best on your endeavors to honor Dr. Boston and his accomplishments. And thank you again for coming in for your
time. Absolutely.
And a special thanks to our sound recording and music technology student, Derek Menk, who produced our show today. Thank you, Derek.
And thank you for listening to the Monco on the Move podcast. Check back soon to hear more stories from our Monco family. Until next time, I'm Jared Brown.
And I'm Molly Hafner. Thanks again for listening.
Thanks for listening to Monco on the Move. Students at Montgomery County Community College working in the sound recording and music technology program record, edit, and produce this podcast. Check out mc3.edu/onthemove to listen to our latest episode or download our podcast on your favorite podcast app. You can also learn about the latest episodes by following us on social media. Have a guest in mind you think would be great for the podcast? Email Eric Devlin at edevlin@mc3.edu or Diane Van Dyke at dvandyke@mc3.edu. And come back next time to find out more about what's happening at your community college and catch our Montco momentum.